It's on page 473 in the Siddur. November 2007, 15th of Kislev Tovshin Samaches, North Hampton Kollel, Shir given by Gershon Hepner on Tehillim, chapter your base, and we're starting at Pasuk Zayin. Yeah, that's where we're up to, Pasuk Zayin. Imris Hashem Amoris Tehiris, that's the one. Imris Hashem Amoris Tehiris, the sayings of God are pure sayings. Kesef tzoruf ba'alil, like silver which is refined in the alil is a refinery. In the refinery, la'oretz on the ground, mezukok shivasoyim, refined seven times. Very hard pasuk. Imris Hashem amoris teres, the sayings of God are pure sayings. Kesef tzoruf ba'alil la'oretz, in silver which is purified in a purifying place, la'oretz, or you could say ba'alil could mean the best earth. We'll see ba'alil la'oretz in the best quality earth. Mezukok shivasoim, refined seven times. Yeah. So the first thing, it's just a reading matter, and that's the very first word of the pasuk, Imris Hashem. A bit of a machlokes, two different gersos. Do we read the Mincha Shai speaks about it? It says that some of the gersos are Imros, which is what's been printed in this Siddurim, and another gersa is Imaros, with a chataf patach under the mem. Just two different ways of reading it, either Imros or Imaros. Hashem, Amoros Tahiros, sayings of Hashem are pure sayings. So Rashi explains, what does it mean that the sayings of Hashem are pure? Rashi says that they are, the sayings of Hashem are pure. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is pure, as opposed to that which man says. Why? Because whatever man promises, he may well not get to fulfill it. He might want to fulfill his promise. He might have every good intention of fulfilling his promise, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not allow him the opportunity of fulfilling his promise. In fact, the Medrash gives an example. It's brought in the Yalkut Shimoni, brings a machlokas, gives a mushal of a king, a human king, who goes to visit a town somewhere, and the local townspeople show him round, he's welcomed, and so on. And then he turns to them and he says, right, I'm going to build this, and I'll build you a swimming pool, and I'll build you a whatever he's going to do. He's going to do great things for the town. And then that night he goes to sleep and he doesn't wake up the next morning, and that's the end of the king. So this is what a human being says isn't necessarily going to come to fruition. Whereas Imros Hashem are Amoros Teres, the sayings of Hashem, they are indeed pure sayings, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is he goes there and Mekayim, he keeps his word, what he says is pure and everlasting. Rashi also comments that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised David, he's promised him Yeshua, salvation, and Malchus. And David says, I'm relying on this. Imris Hashem Amoros Teres, I'm relying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you've promised me will come to fruition. You've promised me Yeshua and you've promised me Malchus. Let's come on to this very difficult phrase, Ba'alil La'oretz. Imris Hashem Amoros Teres, the sayings of Hashem are pure sayings, Kesef Tzoruf, Ba'alil La'oretz. As silver is refined, Ba'alil La'oretz. So what is this word Ba'alil? Rashi brings no fewer than four different explanations on the word Ba'alil. And it's pretty complicated. First pshat, says Rashi, Ba'alil means clearly. The word Ba'alil means clearly. And he quotes a Mishnah, it's in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Hei, where the Mishnah there discusses whether one can be Mechalel Shabbos for the Eidin to go to give Eidos HaChodesh. Do they have a right? Can it be Mechalel Shabbos or not? So the Tanakhama says, yes, Bein Sheniro Ba'alil, whether the new moon appears clearly or not, Bein Shelonir Ba'alil, whether it did appear clearly or not, Mechalelim Alavis HaShabbos, the Eidim are allowed to go to break Shabbos in order to get to Beis HaMikdash, to give their Eidos in front of the Sanhedrin that they saw the new moon. Rabbi Yossi, I think it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, disagrees with that, and he says, if the moon appeared clearly, then the people in the very close environs to the Beis HaMikdash, they would have seen it clearly too, and they'll have enough Eidim. So you don't need to go. If the moon, if the new moon appeared very clearly, then there's no need for anyone to be Mechalel Shabbos to get to the Beis Hamikdash, because someone very nearby would have seen the moon, very new moon, very clearly, and then they can go to the Beis Hamikdash. But the Tanna Kamma disagrees. No, whether it appeared clearly or not, you have a right to be Mechalel Shabbos to go. We want everybody who can go to the Beis Hamikdash to give Eidos to do so on the new moon. So, and that's the word being Shenira Ba'alil, whether it appeared clearly or not. So Rashi here quotes that Mishnah that Alil means clearly, and he explains that the idea is that the that if it's that the Kesef Tzorof Ba'alil La'ores, the words of Hashem or the sayings of Hashem, meaning the Torah, are so pure that they are as clear to everybody as Kesef Tzorof, as purely refined silver. As you find silver. So the words of Hashem are clear and known to everybody, like, and is recognizable as being clear and pure, rather like the purity of refined silver. That's how Rashi learns the first pshat in this word Ba'alil. Rashi brings the second pshat, Kesef Torf Ba'alil La'oret. Ba'alil is the lashon of Aliyah, and it means something which has gone up in quality, i.e. something which is really top quality. And he says it's kesef tzoruf, it's silver which is refined, but a little oret in the best quality earth. And I checked with the scientists on this, because I had to look into a bit of what the refinement, how refinement works, to refine how we refine metals. And it seems that that what we do, to, yes, that a lot of to refine a metal or a rock which contains some valuable minerals within it, is that we put it into a crucible where it's heated up to a huge amount, a very high temperature, and that will sometimes cause the unwanted material to boil away and to to evaporate, leaving us with something valuable, with a valuable metal. And sometimes when in the boiling process they actually add oxygen to the process. Have you come across this? All scientists here. Have you come across this? That they add oxygen to it, because by adding oxygen, if there's carbon within the mixture, and you want to get rid of the carbon to leave behind the valuable metal or the valuable thing, by adding oxygen, the oxygen will combine with the carbon, giving you CO2, carbon dioxide, hopefully, yeah, and that will then evaporate into the air, leaving behind whatever the product you want. Yes, some pure elements or something that you're looking for. Now, all that heating has to be done in the crucible, and apparently the quality of the refinement will depend on the quality of the earth that's used in the crucible. And therefore, our pasuk here says, "Kesef tzoruf ba'alil la'oretz," in high quality earth, that the crucible itself is made out of a very high quality, whatever it is, porcelain or something like that, something which can cope with a very high temperature. Yeah, the alil la'oretz is very high quality earth. If you're frowning at my science, I'm not surprised, because my science is woefully zero. But that's what I've managed to glean from the subject. That the mixture is refined, and the quality of the refinement will depend on the quality of the crucible. So Ba'alila Oretz means a very high quality earth is used for the crucible or for the refining process. So that word Ba'alil is the lashon of ma'ala, something of high quality. That's Rashi's second pshat. Rashi means a third pshat, that the word Ba'alil means an eli. Eli, ayin lamed yud, is a keli in which one would crush something. A mortar, as it's called, right? A mortar and pestle. So the mortar is the keli, and the pestle is the thing you use to pound with, to crush a metal. So he says, prior to, if you want to purify a lump of rock in order to extract the silver, ideally you should first give it a good pounding. That will help in the disintegration process in order to get rid of the unwanted elements, the unwanted chemicals. Yeah, neither do I. But it's something to do with the quality of the refinement process, dependent on the earth.
You're not talking about the earth, it's about the ore.
No, talking about the crucible. It seems to be it's the crucible that's used to, the keli that's used to heat things up in. if I've understood it correctly, which is always a possibility.
Crushing the ore of
the stone. Yeah. Here's the second shot. It means the quality of the earth in which you do the refining process. You can't see that scientifically. I don't know. I'm not enough of a scientist. So the third shot Rashi brings is the Eli. Now the Eli is the keli that's used in which to pound something. And he says, and that's part of the purifying process, that first you pound it up in order to crush it into smaller quantities, and then hopefully then you can heat it up as part of the final process. But Rashi then, he rejects that shot. Why? He says, because it doesn't go well. He says, because in fact the Eli... That's right. He says that Eli is in fact not the correct definition. That's the wrong definition of the word Eli. The first pshat, the pshat he says is it's this keli in which he pounds the mixture, and he says no, it's not. The Eli is not that keli. The Eli is the pounding device, the pestle. That's right, the pestle. In Hebrew, it's called a machtesh. Right, machtesh, kesisha is crumbling up or grind something up. So he says, in fact, the eli is another word for the machtesh, the pestle. Whereas that's really what the eli is. That the eli is the pounder rather than the mortar in which it's pounded. So Rashi rejects that pshat. He doesn't like. He's not happy with it. And then Rashi brings a fourth pshat, that the word ba'alil, where's the pasuk? Imres Hashem, Amoris Toris, Keses Toris, ba'alil la'aretz, yeah? The word ba'alil comes from the word ba'al, and it means master. So the base is not a prefix, as is with the earlier pshatim, it's a lashon of clarity. Alil is clarity, or ma'ala, or the eli, the keli. And so, in which case, the base is the prefix. No, here Rashi says ba'alil. The base is part of the root, and the root is base ayin lamed. And what's happened is that we double the last letter of the root. So we double the last letter, which gives you the word ba'alil. Base ayin lamed is the root, and it means mastery, and it's referenced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kesef tzorof, like refined silver, ba'alil la'aretz, by the master of the earth, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it seems to be, it's difficult to understand, but it seems to be that this is the word ba'alil coming from the word ba'al with the double second root. Double third letter of the root. Master of the earth. This pshat is echoed with a very slight difference by the Tosfos Rid, that's Rabbi Shaya from Turin, who says that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master over all silver. Kesef Tzoruf Ba'alil La'ores. It's the master over all other Kesef Tzoruf. That's how he knows it. All this is, these pshat are echoed as well in the Ibn Ezra and also in the Radak, who also say it's a reference to Ba'al, that Ba'alil is an expression of Ba'ilus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the earth, and it's the and these are his sayings. The sayings of the master of the earth are like Kesef Tzoruf, like very purified silver. The Radak brings a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, chapter Kav Zayin, pasuk Tzvav, to illustrate how the third letter of the root can be doubled over. Because we've got this word ba'alil coming from the word ba'al, a master, but it's got an extra lamed. And he quotes the pasuk here, it's Kav Zayin Tzvav, where the pasuk says, Velef Torid b'yom sagrir, Ve'eshes midyonim nishtova. Very hard pasuk. Took me a while to get this, understand this pshat. Understand pshat in this simple pasuk. It's not simple. Te'elef Torid. He says, let's start with the middle of the pasuk. Be'yom sagrir. Sagrir is samach gimel reish, yud reish. And it comes from the root samach gimel reish, which is to close. And it's a day which a person wishes to be closed in at home. Why? Because it's lousy weather. It's pouring with rain. Delef means a leak. Delef Tore, the Yom Sagre. It's a day that a person wants to stay at home because it's terrible weather. But the problem is, his roof is leaking. It's Delef Tore, and the leaky roof, Tore, drives him mad. because it's Biyom Sagri, it's on the days that he wants to spend at home out of the bad weather, and now his roof is leaking. Yeah? And it's comparable, the Eshes Midyonim Nishtova. Nishtova is the Lashon of Shaveh, to be similar to, is comparable to the Eshes Midyonim. Eshes Midyonim is a troublesome wife. Troublesome wife. Yeah, so if that's got a troublesome wife, there's no escaping her. Right? You can't stay at home to avoid her because she's there. Yeah. So that, and it's like the person who wants to stay out of the rain and he stays indoors and then his roof leaks. That's the now the why we brought this pasuk because of the word sagrir. Sagrir is samach gimel resh, but there's an extra resh in the word. Sagrir coming from samach gimel resh, and even and the Radak quotes this pasuk as an illustration of how you can get the third letter of the root doubled up and given a second time. So sagrir, rather like ba'alil, is a lashon of ba'al. So sagrir is an expression of so ger to close. Yeah. Ah, okay. How are we doing so far? All right. Yeah, so we're getting some ideas of the pasuk. So the pasuk says that Imris Hashem Amoros Torah, the things of Hashem are pure things. Kesef Tzarif Ba'alil La'aretz, like purified silver in the best quality earth, or clear to see on earth, or in the keli in the crucible, or you could say by the master of the earth. And then we come to this expression Mezukok Shiva Soyim. Purified, mezukok again means purified, a different, slightly different loshon to tzoruf. Shivosoyim means seven times. Now, the Ibn Ezra says that this word shivosoyim doesn't mean literally seven times, all it simply means is many times. And the Radak extends that to say that the number seven is used a number of times to illustrate many times. He quotes about four or five pasukim. I've only jotted one of them down, where we have where the number seven is used to illustrate something happening repeatedly. And he quotes the pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai, chapter Kavov, pasuk Kavalos, V'yosafti aleichem mako sheva kechatoseichem. It's in the Tochacha, where Hashem says, I'll punish you again and again, I'll add a mako to your, I'll add a nocha klap to your punishments. Sheva, many times over, kechatosichem, many times over the number
more than seven, really.
It doesn't mean, yeah, it just means many times.
Many, yeah.
And the number seven is just used as an illustration of many times, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how the Mephreshim learn it. Yeah. Now, Kesef Tzoruf, very interesting, this Kesef Tzoruf. Last Hanukkah, I gave a shiur, the Friday night shiur, which happens to be Shabbat Hanukkah, and I decided not to do it on the Sedge, but to do it on the Karbonus of the Nisim, that we lain, of course, over Hanukkah, the Karbonus of the Nisim in Parshas Noso, where Nossi from each Shevet brought their Karbonus when the Mishkan was first set into motion, at the beginning of Nisan in the Midbar. So, and there for the and each Nossi, of course, had different kavanas. And I learned through the Midrashim then, I didn't learn the Mesonas I should have done, but I got a little bit from it, how each Nossi, you remember that, the Pesukim in Parshas Noso, it's so repetitive, because each Nossi brought the same matonas and the same kavanas.
Each day, doesn't it?
Each day, 12 times. Yeah, makes the laning pretty easy. Yeah. That's what makes Noso such a long tedra. Uh-huh. Yeah? And the laning is pretty straightforward because the each nosi is the laning is almost the same as the other, so you got to know the differences. But it's pretty much identical. However identical each nosi, the karbonos were, the fact is that each nosi had a totally different machshava behind his korban. They all had different machshavas. Totally different kavanas. And there are pages and pages of Medrash Rabba on this. I first got to hear about this from Zev Cohen in Gateshead, who once on a Shabbos, I think that's been Pashas Noso, he spoke a bit about it. He said how the Mishim brought identical kavanas, but they each had a different kavana in their kavanas. And he said, pages of Medrash Rabba, it took me about another 30 years till I got to look at those Medrashim. But there they are, Pashas Noso, is page after page of Medrash Rabba giving for each Nossi the different kavanas. Now, the tribe of Yisachar, they brought, what was the kavanah they brought? They brought karas kesef achas, they brought a silver bowl, and also mizrak echod kesef, one silver sprinkling bowl. Now, for Yisachar, the Chayim Yisachar, the Medrash Rabba there says in Nosu, it's Perek Yud Gimel Os Tesvav in the Medrash Rabba. He says there that the tribe of Yisachar, they were the people who learned Torah. Yisachar and Zevulun had this partnership. Zevulun, Lechos Yamim Yishko, and they went out and they were the sailors and they made the Parnosa, and when they were their Parnosa, they supported the tribe of Yisachar to learn. So Yisachar, they were the Tamid Chachamim, they learned. And Kesef is a representation of Torah. And when Yisachar brought his Mizrak, his Karas Kesef Achas, and his Mizrak Echod Kesef, why did he bring them made out of silver? Because Kesef is a representation of Torah. Shenemar, Amoris Hashem, Imris Hashem, Amoris Tehoros, Kesef Torah Ba'alila Ores. The sayings of Hashem, which means the Torah of Hashem, is Kesef Torah, is refined silver. So because of this process, the Torah is compared to silver, refined silver, very well refined silver, and therefore the child of Yisachar, the Nasi of Yisachar, Nisi Yisachar, the son of Ben Suar, he brought these two kelim of silver, Karas Kesef Achas and Mizrak Echad Kesef.
Because he learned Torah, Yisachar.
Yeah, because Yisachar was the child of Torah learning, yeah. And silver is used, or refined silver, is the most in our pasuk of the Imrus Hashem
which is Torah.
Refined silver is worth more than gold.
Oh. I'm just thinking, why don't we say gold? So it's interesting you say this. It's in my mind. Why not gold? You
know? Oh, well, one of the Midrashim I saw says that that Torah is compared to both silver and gold.
Yeah.
Here in this pasuk is compared to silver.
Alfin Zohar v'chesed.
Have you seen this? That's totally says Alfin Zohar v'chesed. And also, Anechamadim Nizahav. The Torah is more Nechamad, it's more beloved than Zohar, than gold. Yes, one of the Midrashim says it's Torah is compared to silver and gold. But you're saying that refined silver is worth more than gold?
Fairly refined silver.
Yeah, I must have another look in my mattress, see how much I've got left.
That's interesting. That's why I say silver, not gold.
Not silver, silver. Refined silver.
Refined silver.
Unless, of course, you can refine silver to a greater degree than you can
refine gold. Maybe. I'm amazed. All these scientific things, you're always there, you know. All these scientific things, I take hours to research them and try and get something of an understanding. And I come here and you say it before I say it.
You mustn't say
that.
Not true.
Right, the Yalkut Shimoni on this pasuk says that, that we have a double lashon of Amira. We have Imris Hashem Amoris Tahiris. The sayings of Hashem are pure sayings. So to the Yalkut Shimoni, we have a double lashon of Amira in the Torah also to do with Tahara. Where's that? Beginning of Parshas Emor. Emor el HaKohanim b'nei Aharon v'omarto aleihem l'nefesh le'itamo ba'amov. The halacha, the beginning of Parshas Emor, where the Kohanim are told they've got to stay tired, they can't come to Me'emes. So there you've got a double lashon. Emor el HaKohanim b'nei Aharon v'omarto aleihem. Double lashon of Amira. So that's Imris Hashem Amoris Tahiris. It's a double lashon of Amira in connection with Tahara. So the Akhlish Meli says that it's a reference to that first parasha, Parasha Zemer, which is the mitzvah for the Kohanim to remain Tahara, not to
say Emor Lohem V'Omar
Emor El HaKohanim. Followed by V'Omar Tahalim. You shall say to them. So it's two lashonos of Amira there. It's still in the Yalkut Shimoni, a few Midrashim in the Yalkut Shimoni, on the Lashon of Amoris Tahiros, pure sayings. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, and this is also, of course, a well-known Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim, it's Taf Gimel Amud Aleph in Pesachim, and it's echoed in the Yalkut Shimoni. What's this idea that Hashem's sayings are pure? He says, because the Torah goes out of its way to expend further words, additional words, rather than saying chas v'shalom, something which might even be vaguely unpleasant. And of course it's learnt, the Rosh Hashanah maybe brings it from the Pasuk in Parashas Noach, where we know that the Torah is so particular not to waste words, and yet we have a lengthy expression min habehimah ha-tahara, or min habehimah asher enenah ha-tahara. for taking the Hashem so tells us, take for the animals which are pure and also for the animals which are not pure. Could more simply have said, yeah, but the Torah doesn't want to use such a lashon if it can avoid it, and so the Torah expands further words, and that's this idea of Imaris Hashem, Amaris Tahiris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says only pure things. If the Torah is purity all the way, he doesn't want to have anything impure in the Torah.
Saki Nohar in school.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Expression of cleanliness. Or
yeah, a bright, a lot of light. We'd rather say something. Yeah, yeah. Where a blind man that is called Sagein Nahar with plenty of light. He has no light. Yeah, but it's a nice way of describing it. Yeah, yeah. That's why I heard once, people say the correct plural of simcha is simchos, but people say simchos. Yeah. Why? Because the mesechta called mesechas simchos deals with halachos of avelus. So we'd rather mispronounce the word rather than make reference to it.
Interesting. I thought, Imros Hashem is smichus. The saying of God is in the Nifrat.
Imrus Hashem is the same. That's right. It is. Yeah. Imrus Hashem is the same.
Double expression.
Well, it could have just said Imrus Hashem Tahoros. The sayings of God are pure. It could have said that. Could have said that, but it's got Imrus Hashem Amoris. That's the extra word Amoris.
But it's poetic.
It is poetic. Yeah. But this is how the Medrash. In the Yadvich Shemini learns it. It's a double lashon of Amira there. Yeah. Rabbi Yanai, still in the Yadvich Shemini, Rabbi Yanai comments on this expression of Mezukok Shivosoyin, refined seven times. And Rabbi Yanai says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the Torah to Moshe, he taught him, and I really can't understand this, but I'll say it anyway, it's very obscure. He says that he taught the Torah to Moshe 49 ponim, memtes ponim tomei, and memtes ponim tahar. 49 ways, tomei ways, and 49 tahar ways. It seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the Torah to Moshe in a very unclear way, where halachas could have swung either way, either tomei or tahar, could have gone either way, and halachas were not taught to Moshe clearly. So whereupon Moshe asked Hashem, Masai namud al birura shel halacha, when will we come to the final words in the halacha? You taught me all these halachas, and you taught it, sometimes you say tahar, sometimes you say tomei, and I'm confused, I don't know, what is the final words, what's the maskana, what's the conclusion in the halacha, is it pure or not? Tomei or Tahar, what is it? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Acharei Rabbim Lahatas, we always follow the majority. So with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him, he says, if a Beis Din votes for the majority, then it's majority. If a Beis Din votes one way, the majority Tomei, then it's Tomei. Majority Tahar, then it's Tahar. And with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him the halacha of Acharei Rabbim Lahatas. So this word Shivosoyin is a dual plural. It literally is seven. It's two lots of seven. That's what it really is.
Seven times, which is seven squared, which is 49.
So it's 49. This is where Rabbi Yanai gets it from now. Because Baruch Hu taught Moshe the Torah 49 times Tomei, 49 times Tahar. And Moshe was confused and he asked, Nu, what's halacha? And Hashem said, no, halacha is. Acharei Nahatas, you follow the majority of the Beis Din. Yeah? So that's this word Shivosoyim, it's a dual plural of seven. It's two lots of seven, seven squared, which is 49. Rabbi Avohu, it brings in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Akiva had a Talmud Vosik, an astonishing Talmud, who could, through his immense Chochmah, could bring 49 proofs from the Torah that a Sheretz is Tomei. And could also bring 49 proofs of the Torah, but the Sheretz is Tahar. Yeah, I first heard this from Rabbi Cooper many years ago, and it's also not just this Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. It's also Sumchus did exactly the same thing, and Sumchus, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir, did exactly the same thing. In other words, their knowledge of the Torah was so fantastic they could take pesukim and take proofs from the Torah and twist them any which way you wanted. And they were so versatile with the Torah they could even bring 49 proofs to the Sheretz as Tahar, which of course goes right against Halacha. But that's the extent of their Torah knowledge. They could, and of course, they had such knowledge of Torah. They could prove all sorts of things from the Torah. But of course, they were well aware of the halacha. But of course, the Sheretz is of course Tommy. Yeah. Now, the most amazing thing which I found, the Elkut Shimoni, is something which I didn't understand, but it's so amazing, I have to say it anyway. And that's brought in the Elkut Shimoni in the name of Rav Shimon ben Pazi, who also comments on this word Shivos Soyim. It's seven lots of seven. And it's Immaros Hashem Amaros Tahoros. Where is the Amira of Hashem all about Tahara? Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak all about Tahara? It's in the first parasha of Parashas Chukas, which is all about the Parah Adumah, which is the ultimate form of Tahara, how to be Metahara someone from the greatest form of Tumah, from Tumas Meis. Now, says of Shimon ben Pazi, there, in that first parasha, he says, there are seven main items listed, and they are Parah, the cow, Serefa, burning, Hazoya, sprinkling the mixture of ashes and water, Kibbus, which is taking clothes to the mikveh, Tomei, expressions of Tumah, Tahar, expressions of Tahara, and Kohen. And there are seven of those. Parah 1, Serefa 2, Hazoya 3, Kibbus 4, Tomei 5, Tahar 6, Kohen 7. And Rav Shimon ben Pazi goes through the parasha and he says that each one of these seven things is mentioned seven times in that parasha.
Chukas.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Each one of them is mentioned seven times. And I went through that parasha seven times, concentrating once each time on one thing. Counting up how many times got the word Parah, how many times got the word Sefer, how many times got the word Hazoya. Well, if Rav Shimon ben Pazi took the trouble, I guess I ought to take the trouble as well. And I couldn't make it add up. I couldn't get to it. Some of them were short and I couldn't understand it. But if, as Rabbi Goodman said to me in a similar case, I would say, if Rav Shimon ben Pazi would walk in through the door now, he'd explain it to us properly. Well, I can't explain it properly. I couldn't get the number. I couldn't see where he got it from. But he brings it that these seven items are listed seven times each. And that's the Lashon of Shiva Soyim, seven times seven, which is 49. Yeah, seven lots of seven. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, still on this word Shivosayim, which is a representation of 49, 7 squared, the Medrash HaKatov, it's actually Medrash HaKatov going back to Perek Zayin in Tehillim, brings there Rabbi Shur ben Levi in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that in the days of Shaul and Shmuel, and it would seem also David, the tinokos, the young children, long before they matured, as the Midrash says, before they were made v'shtei saris, before they matured into puberty, they could darshan the Torah expertly 49 ways Tahar, 49 ways Tomei, and they could do it. In other words, they were completely conversant in the Torah, in every single facet of the Torah, and as young children. Yeah? And because of that, the next pasuk, which will just jump in the days of Shaul and Shmuel. One Medrash brings it in the time of Shaul and Shmuel, and another brings it in the times of David. But of course, they all live at the same era. Yeah. Shaul, Shmuel, and David, at that time in history, even young children were so expert at Torah knowledge that they could explain the Torah 49 ways Tomei, 49 ways Tara, and they were completely fluent in the Torah. And because of that, David HaMelech in this chapter goes on in the next verse, which we haven't really learned, saying, Ata Hashem Tishmerim, please you Hashem guard them. And in fact, Rashi brings it on that verse. Guard whom? Guard these children who are expert at Shivosoyim, who are expert at 49 different ways of learning the Torah. So please guard those children and make sure they retain their Torah knowledge and guard them from all the wicked people around in this generation. Yeah, the Elkut Me'am Lewis learns on this pasuk, Imaros Hashem Amaros Tahoros, What are these, what are these amiras, what are these sayings of Hashem that are all Tahoros? He says, he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, it's chapter Kafbeis, Pasukim Kafalos and Kafbeis, where the pasuk says, you're not allowed to oppress neither a widow nor an orphan. If you do oppress him, if he simply cries out to me, so I will hear his cries. Hashem says, just don't mess with the Amon or the Yosem because I'm on their side.
And Yosem is both parents gone.
Yes. I believe so. So one has to be very careful with the Yosem. It's also a reference Dafka Yosem, but it's also Dafka someone who's too young to earn their own living. So they really are, you know, like a young child, one who loses the parents.
Parents,
maybe it's even one, but it's really, it usually refers to the Dafka, the young child, who's, I once heard this, I don't remember where I heard it from. A young child is too young to earn their own panosa, you know, that's the definition of Yosem. So it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll look after. I'm there to look after the Yosem and the Amona, and it's those are the Amoros Tahoros that David HaMelech is referring to. Hashem, he's saying, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you've guaranteed, you've promised that you'll look after the welfare of these Nebuch, of these poor people in life. You guarantee to look after them, and now I beg of you, please live up to that promise, live up to that Havtocha that you will look after their interests. That's David's Tefillah in this pasuk. Imres Hashem Amoros Tahoros, you promise to look after them, to look after the Amon and the Yosem, then please do. And therefore, the Atah Hashem Tishmeim, in the next passage, please look after them, as he says, as he continues the next passage. What are these Amoros Tahoros? So the Masad Rav Kook on Tehillim brings another possibility, that it's a reference to the earlier Pesukim. Where David says, "Ata okum yomer Hashem, ashis beyesha yafiach lo." Where Hashem says, "Now I'm going to get up." Ata okum. Hashem says, "Now I'm going to get up and look after the tzaddikim. Now I'm going to get up and punish the rishonim." And it's these are the amoros tahoros to which David refers in our pasuk. Hashem, he says, these sayings of Hashem that you say you're going to get up and look after the poverty stricken people. Ata okum yomer Hashem, these are the Amoros Tahoros, these are the pure sayings.
Was prove your words.
Yeah, prove your words.
So you look
right.
After them, do it.
That's right. Let's just come back to the word Ba'alil La'oretz. Ba'alil La'oretz, Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch goes out by himself with a whole new shot. Rashi gave us four shotting on that word Ba'alil. Tends to Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch, Alilos are actions. Alilos are actions.
Alilos mitzadik ofe. Alilos mitzadik ofe.
Hodiyu v'amim alilosav. Make his actions known. Now really, you have this right at the beginning of Pasha's bow, where the Pasuk says, I'm doing all these nisim with Paro. You should tell to your children. That which I performed in Egypt. Hisalalti. Senator Shushan von Hirsch. Alil is one individual action, which is part of a string of actions. Here we have Hisalalti, that's all the operations that Hashem is performing against Mitzrayim. That's the many, many activities, many actions that Kadosh Baruch Hu is performing against Mitzrayim. These are Alilosov, his actions. Alil is one action within a range of actions. It's one of the many actions, one of the many activities that Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. So about Alil, I don't really understand how he interprets the pasuk meaning with this meaning, but Alil La'aretz. But I've said it because it's an unusual lashon. And he quotes them, it's amazing, Rosh Hashanah Hirsch. He connects it to the earlier pasuk which we had in Tehillim, it's in Perek Ches, pasuk Gimel, Mepi Olelim V'Yonkim, where the word Olel means a young child. Why? Because a young child is at one particular stage in growth. Like one action out of many actions, a child is a snapshot of the whole developmental process.
Yeah.
And one last thing, which I must say now. Where's
so in the crucible, is they doing different actions?
Well, he's got a different. He learns. He doesn't learn it means a crucible. I don't understand how Shushan understands the prophet, but he just says that the halil means one action.
Action.
Different stage in life. If you look in his biography, which is the only decent biography that Art Scholar
I better wipe that off the tape.
As biography in the street terms.
It's very, very thorough.
Both critical and praiseworthy. Whereas with the other
tzaddikim,
it's all sugary.
I know. You know what Michael once said to me? Michael said to me in a spoof of an Art Scholar biography, he said, the Godel, you know, the Art Scholar describing the Godel, and he sat there and he peeled his banana. That was Michael there.
It's like the Hamasir now, and the Rebbe's making a brocha. The first man to do it, he's in the world.
Anyway,
now one other thing. Now, where did I see this? Oh, I don't know where I saw this. I didn't jot down where I saw it quoted. It's a medrash on Sheikh Hashirim. A medrash on Sheikh Hashirim. Yeah, let me find Sheikh Hashirim to you. Sheikh Hashirim, Peck based Prophet Dalad. Heviyani El Beis Hayoyin, he brought me to the house of wine. Vidiglo Alai Ahava, and his flag over me is love. That's the pasuk. What does it refer to? So the Medrash says it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing us to Har Sinai. Heviyami El Beis Hayoyin, Hashem brought us to Har Sinai, V'diglo Alai Ava, and He presented us with the Torah. Something along those lines. Or Diglo is also a lashon of the Degolim in the Midbar, that He set us in our tribes, and each tribe had a Degel, brought in Pashas Bamidbar, the Midbar, and each tribe had their own flag and so on. So now this word V'diglo, says the Medrash, is a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He brought us to Sinai, Heviyani El Beis Hayoyin, and there He taught us the Torah to be interpreted in 49 different ways. And that corresponds with our word, Shivot Imaris Hashem, Amoris Tahoros, Kesetorf Ba'alil Aris, Mezukok Shivotoyin, refined 7 times 7, 49 times. Why? What's the connection with this pasuk in Shashim? Because the gematria, the word v'diglo, is 49. Yeah, 49 times. So v'diglo alai ava, that word v'diglo has got the gematria of 49.
Was it shiva ponim la Torah?
I know, yeah. With
that's seven.
Shiva ponim la Torah.
7 days of the week.
I wonder if it's bound up, and I don't know, I haven't seen anyone who says this, but I wonder if it's bound up with the opening words of the Perek, which is Lamatzechalashminis, which is the 8th, which is Lamalos, that's the one which is Lamalos in the 7. I don't know. But you were saying that Shivan Panam, so it's another Maimah Chazal, Shivan Panam,
7 faces. 70
facets.
70,
70. 70, yeah. Okay. And here it's here's given as 49 different times.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a bit,
yeah.
So it has a number 7 in 70. 7 to 49.
Yeah. It's
a little
bit. Yeah. Good. Okay. Prophet Kess. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. 10 to
11.
Yeah, I've got
another session.
I really thought I'd finish it this day. If you haven't arranged anyone for this, maybe.
It's hard work.
It is hard work. All right. Let's see if we can hop in Prophet Kess at least. Oh, not so much on Prophet Kess. Okay.
Well then?
I have 3 pages on Pasuk Zayin. I've only got 1 page on Pasuk Ches, but maybe we'll manage it. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Ata Hashem, you Hashem, Tishmerim, you shall guard them. Hang on, I'm just going to turn the tape over before it runs out. Yeah, almost right here. Okay. Right. Ata Hashem, you Hashem, Tishmerim, you shall guard them, Titzarenu, you shall love the lotion of guarding, Min Haderzu, from this generation, the Olam forever. You shall guard them. Now it's not clear what is meant by guarding them, guarding whom. So Rashi explains that it's a reference to these young children in the times of Shaul and David and Shmuel, and I mentioned them before, the Medrash before, these young children who are experts at learning Torah, and they can understand the Torah in 49 different ways, and here David says, please guard them, Atashem Tishreim, guard these young children. And what it means, it seems to have two different meanings. Guard the children from what? He says, guard them from forgetting their Torah learning, and also guard them physically, protect them. Why? Because, as Rashi says, they're in a generation of Diltorim. Diltorim means people who speak Lashon Hara. I think the English word deleterious comes from this word Diltorim. Diltorim is probably not Hebrew, it's probably Greek or something like that. Yeah, Diltorim, Dilturia, is also brought by Rashi, I think, at the beginning of Pasha Shemos, meaning Lashon Hara. The Mitzri saw Moshe killing the he was seen, and then Dotan Aviram saw him killing the Mitzri, and they saw Paro, so that's Dilturia, Deleterious. So here we have, so David is saying, this generation is full of people who speak Lashon Hara and very cruel and nasty people, and therefore, please protect them. It's brought by, Rashi quotes it from a Medrash in the name of Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin, which I think means Rabbi Yeshua, who came from a town called Sichnin. Yeah. The Ibn Ezra learns differently. The Ibn Ezra learns, Atashem Tishmarim, you shall guard them. Guard what? Guard the sayings of Hashem, as mentioned in the last pasuk, Imaris Hashem, Amaris Tahuris. Guard those sayings, protect them, and it seems to say as well, guard as well your when you said Ata Okum Yoma Hashem and Oshes the Yeshe Yofiachlo, all these things that you said that you would save. Please guard those expressions and keep them. Guard them and keep your word, basically. Keep your word on what you said. Yeah. The Radak points out, and I don't fully understand it, the Radak points out the word Tishmarim has a plural suffix, guard them, while Titzrenu has a singular suffix, guard it. And the Radak says that guard it means guard every single oni, every single poor person, every single downtrodden person, guard him. That's why it's in the singular, Titzrenu. But, where did I see it? I saw it in the... Yeah, but Rav Shusha Fal Hirsch points out, not necessarily. He says Titzrenu could be guard us. Yeah, it could be a lesson of guarding us.
It's us here.
Yeah. Ah, interesting. Oh, that's how Shemshul Tal Hashem is guard us. Or it could also be guard them. Yeah. Titzrenu could also be guard them. And he mentions the word mimenu. The word mimenu is a what's the word? Is an ambiguous word. Mimenu can mean from him, and it can also mean from us.
Yeah.
And I think it can also mean from them. Not sure about that last one. Anyway, so Shushan Fahal Hash says it could well be a plural. Yeah. The Malvim learns on this pasuk that Tishmarim, being a plural, is a reference to the Immaros Hashem Amoros Taros, plural, guard the sayings, while Titzrenu, he says, is a Yochid, and then he says, guard it like you guard Kesef Tzoruf. As mentioned in the previous passage, Kesef Tzoruf, the refined silver, guard it like you guard Kesef Tzoruf, refined silver. So that's how he understands it. Yeah. And that's all I found on this passage, which is really a bit sad. I'm sure there must be much more that I just didn't get to see. All right. Now, should we leave it there then?
Yeah.
And leave the last passage for next week? There is quite a lot on next week. Maybe I'll research last week. Yeah? I have to check my diary. You haven't got anyone giving Shinet for next week?
Yes, we have, but I'll open the door.
I don't want to mess them around.
It's okay.
Who is it?
I think it's Shalom.
Shalom Siegel.
Oh,
I mustn't have to
say Shalom.
He's very easy. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell you a lovely story about the seven. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.